Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواصينا وجوارحنا بيدك لم تملكنا منها شيئا فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم آتي أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير أما بعد. The topic continues, love of Allah, the means and methods. So the first way was to think of Allah and remember Him in abundance, dhikran kathira, plenty of zikr. The second way we spoke about that is to think of the bounties of Allah, muraqabah, contemplation, tafakkur. Think of the bounties of Allah. In continuation of the previous discourses on the relationship with Allah and how to create it, love of Allah is the base of the whole religion. This whole deen, the base of this whole deen is based upon love of Allah. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi told us that the first method of creating love of Allah is to make much remembrance of Allah. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila, on which we spoke in a previous discourse. We also spoke on comparing Allah's blessings with our own reaction, how we respond and treat them. We have to think about that too, to our own reaction, how we respond and treat them. If we contemplate Allah's continuous blessings, then we will begin to love our benefactor. It is natural of man to love his benefactor. His bounties are for all and sundry. Allah's bounties and favors are unlimited. If we think of them again and again, then love of Him will grow in our heart. We only have to contemplate, otherwise His favors are unending. Whether we give thanks or not, His favors are there, unending. His favors do not diminish. Sheikh Saadi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said, Allah has turned the entire earth as a dining table, as a dastarkhan, on which all His creatures find their share. Friend and foe partake of it without distinction. Allah's blessings rain down on Muslims and disbelievers alike. In fact, sometimes the latter have a greater share. The disbelievers outstrip the Muslims in their progress and prosperity. They are wealthier. Allah knows that they deny His existence. They are kafirs. They are disobedient to Him. But He, Allah, continues to shower His favors on them. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Friends in hardship, foes in abundance. Indeed, sometimes it is Allah's will that His dear slaves live in poverty and need. But his foes live in plenty and luxury. Sometimes it is with his will like that. Maulana Rumi, alayhi rahma, says, sometimes we nourish our enemies and hurt our friends. Sometimes we nourish our enemies and hurt our friends. It is like Samiri, the sorcerer, whom Allah nourished through Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And on the other hand, Prophet Ilyas alayhi salatu wasalam was sawed through in two pieces. So on one hand, Samiri in the time of Musa the sorcerer, whom Allah nourished through Jibreel alayhi salam. And on the other hand, he had Prophet Ilyas alayhi salam, ala nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, sawed through in two pieces. Thus Allah's blessings are available in the world to friend and foe without distinction, and they are never diminished. But we never think of them. If anyone lacks a sense of perception, then what can we do? However, his favors continue to pour down unabated. One only has to put one's mind to it, but we are negligent. If Allah causes us to think of his favors, then there's no reason for us to recount them and not love Allah. As I said in my last discourse, you must make a practice of recounting your blessings during the day and give thanks to Allah for each of them before you go to sleep. Allahumma lakal hamd wa lakal shukr. Anyway, the second way of creating love is to think of Allah's favors. The third way, think of your response. The respected Maulana Rahmatul Ali then said that one must also think of one's own conduct, how he receives the blessings. Allah's blessings come down to him incessantly. But if Allah has commanded him to worship him, he shows lethargy in obeying them. If Allah has disallowed him to commit sin, then he is lethargic in keeping away from it. Maulana Rumi says about it, he who solves our difficulties is doing all that for us, but we fail to do our bit. He who solves our difficulties is doing all that for us, but we fail to do our bit. We find our duties a burden on us, offering salat, a burden, fasting, burden, keeping away from sin. They all seem burdensome to us. How ungrateful is the slave's response to Allah's blessings. We must contemplate that in spite of our indifferent attitude, Allah's blessings come to us unceasingly. This is why the Maulana calls upon us to ponder on Allah's favors and ponder upon our reactions. Contemplate your condition, your hal. There can be another meaning of this saying of the Maulana Rahmatul Ali, as he defined elsewhere. He said, just as you think of Allah's favors and your reaction to create love of Allah, so too by thinking of his favors and your own position or eligibility, love of Allah grows in the heart. It means that he should observe Allah's might and greatness, his power and glory and his wisdom, and then look at your own poor state, undeserving status and unreality. While you are unable to do anything, and whatever you possess belongs to Allah, even your existence and survival and physical appearance, knowledge, everything belongs to Allah, inna lillah, who has granted them to you. He may take them away whenever he desires. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So everything belongs to Allah. He may take them away whenever he desires. That increases gratitude and love. So when everything that we possess is His grant, then how can I be arrogant and how may I be an egoist? I have nothing of my own. This is the reality of man. I am a non-reality. I have nothing of my own. Everything is Allah's grant. This is my own unreality or undeserving state. Such thinking is very useful. Such thinking grows Allah's love inside. The more one realizes that he is insignificant, the more he will value Allah's blessings as great. But if anyone considers himself deserving of Allah's blessings, I am mustahik, then he will not thank Allah for them because he thinks he is deserving of it. He will believe that Allah had to give those things to him, and there is no hope that he will show gratitude to Allah. He will not love Allah. Only when a person sees himself as unworthy and insignificant will he be grateful to Allah, and love of Allah will grow in him. About a saintly man and an arrogant mutakabbir. If a person thinks of himself as a great man, possessing glory, then his heart is arrogant and he asks others, "Do you not know who I am? Maykaunu, do you not know who I am?" A saintly man, one of Allah's awliya, spoke some words of advice to a man of this world, but he retorted, Don't you know me? You don't know who I am? You mean to correct me? You don't know me?" The saintly man answered that he knew what his reality was. He says, "Yes, I know who you are. I know what your reality is." And then he told him what is man's worth. He said, Awwaluka nutfatun madhiratun, that your first stage is a dirty drop of sperm. That's your first stage. Wa akiruka jifatun kathiratun, and your last state will be a dirty lion corpse. Wa anta fi ma bayna dhalika, and you in between these two periods, tahmilul adhira, are just carrying a wrong filth inside of you. You began as a dirty sperm drop. Your end will be a bad smelling dead corpse, so foul that your family will be unwilling to keep you in the house. Yes, they may weep when you die, but they will be unwilling to keep you with them. They will take you to the graveyard and put you in the grave. As for the portion between birth and death, you carry a load of impurity in your body all the while. From head to toe, you are impurity. It is only Allah's favor that He has clothed your impurity with skin. Your defects are concealed with skin, otherwise just a cut on the face, just a cut on the face will disclose your ugliness. Your body is a mass of blood, pus, urine, feces. People may love you now and sit next to you, but when the skin peels off the face, no one will come near you. People will dislike you. Hence you began as an impure drop of sperm, awwaluka nutfatun madhiratun, and ended as a foul-smelling corpse, wa akiruka jifatun kathiratun, and in between you carry impurity, wa anta fi ma bayna dhalika tahmilul adhira, yet you say, "Don't you know who I am?" Yes, I know exactly who you are. Submissiveness is demanded. As long as man does not realize his standing and his reality and perceive it, he will neither value Allah's blessings nor love Allah as he should. So the Mawlana says, recognize your root, recognize your worth, your qadr. The first and the last lesson is, The first and the last lesson is recognize your worth, know who you are, and submit yourself to a point of annihilation. I am just a nobody. I am a non-entity, a non-reality. I am not deserving. I am not mustahik. So this is the first and the last lesson. Recognize your worth, because submissiveness is demanded, and submit yourself to the point of annihilation. But he who claims distinction, meho, elevation and glory, and is arrogant, does not even know of this path, while utter submission is called for, together with a recognition of one's own worth and of one's nothingness before Allah and Allah Shay. Small in one's own eyes, but great in the eyes of others. This is how it should be. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed to Allah, Allahumma aj'alni fi ayni sagira, wala make me small in my own eyes, wa fi ayunin nasi kabira, and make me big in the eyes of people. O Allah, make me small in mine eyes, so that when I compare myself to others, I think of myself as small. And this is to grow humility. That when I compare myself to others, I don't think I am better. Ana qayrun minhu, ana qayrun minhu. I think of myself as small, and that is to grow humility. But make me great in the sight of other people, otherwise they will wrong me and commit excess against me. Someone said, become a dog, but not a younger brother. Become a dog, but not a younger brother. All the burden and pressure falls on the younger brother. If people think of him as small, then they will bully him. They will bully him. Hence the prayer to defend oneself from other people. O Allah, make me great, but let me think of myself as small. Annihilation all over, which is called fana. In the terminology of tariqah and tasawwuf, when one loses himself, his identity, considers himself a non-reality, this is called fana, when one annihilates oneself in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mawlana Tanwi rahmatullah alayhi said, that the teachings of the Haji Sahib, of Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki, Rahmatullah Alayhi, wa Nawwarallahu Markadahu, wa Nafa'ana bi Ulumi Mameen. The teachings of Haji Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, call for a total fana, total annihilation, from the first to the last lesson, total annihilation, from first lesson to last lesson. Haji Sahib said, if anyone walks on the path of the Shaykh, or the path of a mentor, and the path of grace, then he does not even see our path. He does not even see our path. So live a common man's life. There is no need to seek grace and glory. Keep your worth before your eyes. If anyone walks on the path of the Shaykh or a mentor and of grace, then he does not even see our path. He doesn't even see our path. So live a common man's life. There is no need to seek grace and glory. Keep your worth before your eyes. The result will be an awareness of Allah's blessings, which will prompt you to be grateful and to love Allah. The fourth way, so the first way, plenty of zikr. The second way is to remember the favors and the bounties of Allah. Third way is how to ponder how we react, our response towards that. The fourth way, suhbat, company, company of the men of Allah. Suhbatul awliya, suhbatul aqyar, suhbatul ahlillah, company of the men of Allah. It is to keep connection with the man of Allah. It is a strong way. This is a very, very strong way. Allah says in Quran, Kunu ma'as-sadiqin, be with them, be with the truthful ones, be with the lovers of Siddiq. It is a strong way to create love. In fact, the strongest way is the suhbat and connection with them. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. This is a strong way, suhbat, to create love. In fact, the strongest way. The more you love the men of Allah, the more love of Allah will grow in your heart. The Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, there is a way to meet him. Create a way to those who meet him. That's the way to meet him. Create a way to those who meet him. That is the Awliyaullah. Therefore, adopt the company of the men of Allah whose hearts are full of love for him, and be close to them and love them. Be close to them, love them. You will then begin to love Allah. That's why the Sahaba had the greatest love for Allah, because their sheikh, their spiritual mentor, was none other than the best of the creation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Therefore, adopt the company of the men of Allah whose hearts are full of love for him, and be close to them and love them. You will then begin to love Allah. Aim filin, love of Allah. My respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, used to relate that once Maulana Tanwi, Rahmatullah Alayhi, spoke to a gathering on love of Allah. So he spoke to them about Hubbullah, love of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Honorable Khwaja Azizul Hasan Majzub, Rahmatullah Alayhi, was among the audience. Suddenly he interrupted the Mawlana. Oh Mawlana, for Allah's sake, fill some of it in my heart. Fill some of it in my heart. The Mawlana remarked, what else am I doing? What else am I doing? His speech was meant to do that. In short, when a person sits with men of Allah, watches them intently, and listens to them attentively, he sets a link with Allah, which cements his love of Allah. When he sits with them, watches them intently, listens to them attentively, he sets a link with Allah, which cements his love for Allah. And the fifth way to gain this love of Allah, fifth way, is sticking to obedience. Sticking to obedience, day in, day out, night in, night out. This is to obey Allah's commands with regularity. The more you obey him, the more will love grow. That's deep. The more you obey Allah, the more obedience you have, the more will love grow. Allah has placed an amazing relationship between love and obedience. Amazing relationship between love and obedience, and Allah has placed that. Its working is that obedience, this is the amazing relationship. Obedience grows love. Obedience grows love. And love makes one obey more. They are both, they complement each other. Obedience grows love, and love makes one obey even more. This goes on endlessly. This is the amazing relationship between love and obedience. The one resulting from the other. The cycle is unavoidable. It is said that to obey Allah's commands and to abide by the laws of religion, the easiest way is to create love of Allah. That's the easiest way, to obey Allah's commands and to abide by the laws of deen. The easiest way and tariqah is to create love of Allah in the heart. The way suggested to love Allah is to obey him, ita'at, which means that the cycle is created necessarily. It's a cycle. It is created necessarily. Obey Allah. To abide by religion, deen, love Allah if you want to abide by deen. And to love Allah abide by religion. In other words, both these things, to abide by deen, love Allah. To abide by deen, love Allah. And to love Allah, abide by deen. That's the cycle. You want to abide by religion and deen, love Allah. And to love Allah, abide by deen. In other words, both these things are complementary and dependent on one another. We need to understand the explanation carefully. Some effort and courage to begin. This is how it all begins. Effort and courage. Allah has placed in His love the characteristic that if anyone begins to make some effort to obey Him, obedience, then Allah bestows on him a rank of love which enables him to be more obedient. In short, neither can love grow by itself. Love can't grow by itself without some effort. Nor is it easy to obey automatically without a little effort. Rather, in the beginning, deen, religion, calls for some sacrifice, qurbani, some effort, and some courage, some mujahada. In the beginning, a person will have to counter his desire. He will have to go against his desire, his nafs, and work against his worldly needs. Once he does that, Allah puts in his heart a light of love. Steam, look at this, the steam engine. Steam accelerates the train. On another occasion, the Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi had explained it with an example. He said that if a locomotive is full of steam, it has full steam, then the train will run at full speed. But if it lacks steam, though it may have everything else, then the train will not move. Steam will move it to long distances once that locomotive has steam. You know what? Love is like steam. Love is like steam. The Mawlana said that to move at a fast speed, the locomotive needs two things. Steam and wheels. Steam and wheels. Without one of these, the locomotive will not move. He said that in man, love is like steam. Love is like steam. And the deeds, wheels. The deeds like the wheels. Hence, some little effort, or the deeds will have to be made. And this will grow the steam. The little effort, the little mujahada, mehnat, sacrifice, effort, deeds. And this will grow the steam. It's going to grow the steam, or the love. That will accelerate the speed. And the more deeds, that will accelerate the seed, and more deeds will be performed. Another example, the runaway before flying. Today we may look at an aeroplane that taxis on the runway before takeoff. As long as it is taxiing, the moments are very trying for me, says Mufti Taqi Usmani Damod Barakatum. They are very trying for me when taxiing because I have to sit idle and can begin my writing only when it is in the air. An aircraft's taxiing is like the effort that is required before creating love. It's like the effort required before creating love, taxiing. This is the deed, the amal. Once a person counters his desires by obedience to Allah, then the steam of love begins to grow in him, and swift progress will follow. Once a person counters his nafs, his desires, by obedience to Allah, then the steam of love begins to grow, and swift progress will follow, inshallah. To savor the flavor of iman, it is exactly this that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means, in which he says that if you are tempted to look at a non-mahram, some non-mahram woman, you are tempted to look, and you would enjoy looking at her, but you know what? Fear of Allah keeps you away from looking, and you endure the trouble thereby incurred. When you do that, then Allah will bestow on you a flavor of Iman before which the taste of sins is nothing. The flavor of which, before which the taste of sins is nothing. Allah says to his slave, O my slave, I have showered on you innumerable bounties. The only demand on you is that you should abstain from unlawful desires for my sake. If you do that, then you have my assurance. It's in Surah Ar-Rum. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Those who make a little effort, a little mujahada, a little effort on our part, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا Then we will surely lead them by the hand. This is how Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani used to translate this. We will surely lead them by the hand. That's the type of hidayat here. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا We will give them hidayat to the ways unto us. What type of hidayat? What type of guidance? We will surely lead them by the hand unto our pathways. The thought that may prevent desires. Therefore, you will have to make some sacrifice, some qurbani, some effort. Paradise, Jannat, cannot be had very easily. Jannat is not cheap. Also, the love is not so cheap. The sacrifice is to accustom yourselves to abstain from unlawful desires, to make it easy. To make it easy, reconcile your mind to the reality. Talk to yourself that, you know what, this is the world, not paradise. Someone once said that, you know, if you see somebody speaking and talking to himself, he's not mad, you know. He's okay. But when he starts to answer himself, then you had to watch him a bit. Reconcile your mind to the reality that, tell yourself, talk to yourself, this is the world. This is the world, it's not Jannat. This is dunya, this is world. No one in this world, howsoever great, can say that everything happens here as he wishes. Nobody could say that. Could be king, prime minister, wealthiest man. No. Rather, everyone encounters conditions in this world contrary to his wish. This is the world. So no one can ever avoid this. Even those people who possess large resources and have a retinue of servants at their disposal, they too have things going against their desires. Wow. In fact, they face such situations more than we do. Hence, it may never be expected that one will not face grief, sorrow, or other unpleasant circumstances. No, that's not the world. So, two ways to go about it. One of two ways is that we counter our nature, and do that which pleases Allah. Go against our nafs, go against our nature, our desire, go against it and please Allah. That's one way. And the second way is to fulfill our desire, follow the nafs, follow the shahwat, follow the nafs, with the result that we displease Allah. By occupying ourselves and attempting to get what we want, and we may not even get it. Since things are going to be against our desires anyway, why should we not give them up for Allah's sake? The effort will turn pleasant. If you begin to think that if you do something against your nature in obedience to Allah, I'm doing this, it's against my nature, I don't like it, my heart doesn't feel good, but it is in obedience to Allah, the mighty, the gracious, then the trouble you face in doing that will become pleasant in a little time, in a short time. That trouble will become pleasant. This is because you will tell yourself, praise belongs to Allah, alhamdulillah. I am curbing my tendency for the sake of my real beloved. Light will grow in you, light and noor will grow in you. It will begin to grow and you will feel happy. You will feel happy such that thousands of pleasure of the world, thousands of pleasure of the world are unworthy before that condition. If that condition comes, thousands of pleasure of the world are unworthy before that condition. I'm curbing my tendency. I'm curbing my nafs for the sake of my real beloved. You go against your nafs. You go against the nafs to be obedient to Allah. Such happiness and nur will grow in you that thousands of pleasure of the world are unworthy before this hal. Allah is with the broken heart. Another thing is that sometimes we break our heart before the creation. A man is heartbroken because of a woman, which we call in Trinidad language, in the Westerners, we call it tabanka. Tabanka. His heart is broken because of a woman. And he becomes like a vagrant on the street. He doesn't eat. You know, combing his hair, and he walking up and down the road because his heart is broken. How do you break? Heart is broken because of a woman, because of makhluk. Or a woman's heart is broken because of a man. Why not cause our hearts to be broken because of Allah then? Allah is with the broken heart. Allah the exalted likes that his slave must sometimes hurt his heart. Allah likes that. That you must sometimes hurt your heart. For example, his heart may like to do something. The servant's heart may like to do something. But you should hurt it. Hurt it by not doing that. Don't do it that. For the sake of Allah, don't do it. Although the heart wants to do it, hurt the heart by not doing that. When he does that, Allah says, I come and occupy that heart. That's it. The heart is a real deep, deep vessel and dharf, you know. When he does that, Allah says, I come and occupy that heart. It is my nur, it is my light. A hadith quotes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as saying, Inna Allah ma'al munkasirati qulubuhum. Inna Allah ma'al munkasirati qulubuhum. Which means that Allah is with those whose hearts are broken. Allah is with those whose hearts are broken. And heartbreak in two ways. One, they are broken involuntarily. Sometimes the heartbreak is involuntary. Because they face hardships, the calamities and hardships that come their way, so the heartbreak is involuntary. And it is of them, it is of them that Allah says, I am with them. I am with them. I am with them. Involuntarily. And two, their hearts, second way, their hearts are inclined to commit sins. And the hearts want that. Inclined to commit sins. But these people throw out their desires. Throw out their desires. Da'an af saka wa ta'al. They throw out their desires. And in this way they break their hearts. And it's a kind of sadness in the heart now. So Allah says, I am with them. So this is how Allah is with those whose hearts are broken for his sake. Inna Allah ma'al munkasirati qulubuhum, either voluntarily or involuntarily. The heart, hearts reflect light. The hearts are a mirror, they are aina. Allama Iqbal said about such a thing, the meaning of which is, the heart is such a mirror. But there's one mirror, don't try to keep it too safe. Normally you have a good expensive mirror, you don't want it breaking. You don't want it cracking. But not so with this mirror. Do not try to keep it safe, the mirror of the heart. For it is a mirror. It is a mirror. A mirror that when broken, when this mirror is broken, it is dear in the eyes of the maker of the mirror. Wow. Don't try to keep this mirror too safe, this heart, for it is a mirror that when broken, it is dear in the eyes of the maker of the mirror. Hence, do not let your heart have everything it wants. Don't let it. Let it not. For he who has made the heart's mirror, he who has made the heart's mirror assures that the more it breaks, the more this heart breaks, the more this mirror breaks, the more it is dear. And he is its companion to that extent. You know what? The heart is so, so deep. The heart is so big. The heart is so big. Allah has made the heart for Himself. Allah has made the heart for Himself. And it reflects His nur and His light and His manifestation. Allah does not like anyone else to occupy this heart. That's when you say, La ilaha illallah. It means, La mahbuba illallah. La ilaha illallah. That Allah's love, Allah is the only beloved. His love is the greatest. There is no love greater than the love of Allah. Allah's love, Allah is akbar. He does not like anyone else to occupy this heart. This is possible when desires are thrown out. We will reside in the ruined house. So this heart is a mirror that is broken time and time again, and then Allah likes that. It is like a ruined house. So Mufti Taqi Usmani, damat barakatuhum wa afiyatuhum, says, I too composed a couplet about this matter here. And our elder, Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, damat barakatuhum, appreciated it so much that he cites it and quotes it often. And what's it? It says, Dard-e-dil-de ke mujhe usne irshad kiya. Dard-e-dil-de ke mujhe usne irshad kiya. Hum usi ghar mein rahenge jise barbaad kiya. He said, after giving me a heartache, I will reside in the house that aches. I will reside in the house that aches. He, Allah, said, after giving me a heartache, that I will reside in the house that aches. Darde dil deke mujhe usne irshad kiya. Hum usi ghar mein rahenge jise barbaad kiya. To ruin or ache a heart means that desires are thrown out for Allah's sake. The heart may be tempted to commit sin and invited from inciters all around, but the person breaks it for the sake of his Allah, and so he ruins the heart. Then Allah resides in this heart, and it becomes a place for His manifestation. So love causes obedience, and obedience promotes love. It works both ways. This is what the respected Maulana says, that when you make a little sacrifice, a little effort, mehnat, qurbani, and try to throw out desires, then Allah will give you His love. This is His assurance. When you have the love, then what was difficult now becomes easy, and you will be encouraged to be more obedient and so love more dearly. And this will go on multiplying. It's like a cycle, multiplying. The one increasing the other. One increasing the other. Obedience, love. Love, obedience. Obedience, love. Love, obedience. One increasing the other. Till death. Till when Malakul Maut comes and the soul is about to be taken. At that time, a person will hear, till death, when Allah's message will be recited to that dying soul, to that person, he will hear this verse. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna. Irji ila rabbiki radiyatan marudiyya. Fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. Suratul Fajr. O you soul, at peace, mutmainna, come back today, come back to your Lord, come back to your Lord, in whose love you spent your life's days and nights. Come back today to your Lord, in whose love you spent your life's days and nights. Come today and join my slaves and enter my Jannah. This is the consequence of the entire circle. This is the consequence, the natija, the akiba of the entire circle of obedience. Obedience, love, obedience. Obedience, love. Love, obedience. Till Allah puts us on this path and it remains until death. Ameen. An easy prescription. The easiest and most brief prescription of disobedience is what the Quran calls us to follow to create love of Allah. This is the easiest way to create love of Allah. Best prescription. Surah Al Imran. Qul in kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. Allah instructs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell them the believers that if they really love Allah, or if they really wish and want to love Allah, then the easy way for them is to obey him. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Follow him and obey him. The result will follow. Allah will love you. Obey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will love you. Follow him. Do his ittiba. Allah will love you. On the face of it, one would have thought, okay, obey the Prophet and love of Allah will grow in your heart and you will begin to love Allah. But Allah did not say that. Allah did not say that obey the Prophet and love of Allah will grow in your heart and you will begin to love him. Allah did not say that. But he told the Prophet alayhi salam to say to the people that if you want to love Allah, then follow me. Fattabi'uni, then follow me if you want to love Allah. And Allah will love you. Allah will love you. Why did he say so? This Quran is so deep. Here is a hint. Here is a hint that you cannot love Allah. You cannot love Allah. Look at yourself and look at him. Look at yourself and look at Allah. You can't love Allah. You are deficient in all respects while he is perfect. Look at yourself. Look at him. You are deficient in all respects while he is perfect, ever living and forever. How can you perfect your love of him? How can you perfect your love of him? But you know what? When you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do the ittiba, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Allah will love you. Yuhibbukumullah. And its reflection will fall on your heart. This reflection is called love of Allah. So you know what? Love grows first in the heart of the beloved. Love is growing first in the heart of the beloved. A Persian poet said something to the effect, meaning that love rises first in the heart of the beloved. Its reflection then falls on the heart of the lover. And so love transfers to the lover. It is the same with the love of Allah. Because how can a person love the being whom he has not seen, and of whom he does not possess a perfect awareness, marifat, and recognition? How? Allah is beyond our sense of perception. So Allah says, listen, I will love you first. As though Allah is saying, you can't love me. You don't know me. You have not seen me. You have not really known me as you ought to know me. You are deficient. So Allah is saying, hear what? I will love you first. I will love you first. And thereafter, the reflection of my love will fall on your heart. I will love you first. And thereafter, the reflection of my love will fall on your heart. Then you will love Allah. Then you will love Allah. Then you will love Allah. So following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the easiest path in everything. Anyway, the Quran teaches us that the way to secure the love of Allah is to abide by the sunnah. We must follow the Prophet's sunnah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in everything we do, in our gait, our appearance, speech, get up, manners, eating, drinking, dealings, social living, mutual transactions, and character. As you go on abiding by the sunnah, love of Allah will continue to increase. More sunnahs, more love. No sunnah is small. Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that if anyone abides by a sunnah, even a small sunnah, though no sunnah is small and each of them is gloriously mighty, he is the beloved of Allah. At that time when he is doing it, he is the beloved of Allah. An example is of a man who puts forward his right foot on entering the masjid and he makes the dua, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik, because each of these is the Prophet's sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then though this is a small deed, he becomes Allah's beloved when he does each of these deeds. You become Allah's beloved then. Or as an example, when you go to the toilet, you enter it with your left foot in compliance with the Prophet's sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you make the masnoon dua, you are becoming Allah's beloved as you do that. At that time, you are becoming Allah's beloved. And so it is, if you come out of the toilet with your right foot and make the dua suggested by the sunnah, this is because you are abiding by the sunnah of Allah's beloved. Therefore, the more you move ahead, more you move ahead in abiding by sunnah, the more will love of Allah continue to rise, and it will continue to be easier for you to abide by the deen. The sunnahs are not difficult that are not difficult. There are innumerable sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they are in every department of life. Indeed, many of them are such that they may be adopted without spending any money or time or making an effort. But only one has to rest, remember, like the foregoing example of putting forward the right foot on entering masjid or the left foot and coming out of it. There's no effort involved because you do have to step out. But all you have to do is to remember to begin with the left. Otherwise, you will deprive yourself of the blessing of the sunnah. If anyone were to ask you, is it a sin to step out of the masjid with the right foot? Then say that, no, it's not a sin. Somebody asks you, because people like argument, they want fiqh, mufti, plain mufti. So they ask you, is it fard or wajib to step out with the left foot? Eh? So say, no, it's not so. But you know what? But if one does not do so, then he deprives himself of a great blessing. Because when one acts on the Prophet's sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he receives Allah's blessings and his love. Similarly, it is a sunnah to eat with the right hand and to begin by reciting Bismillah. And when you have finished eating, thank Allah and make dua. Though it is neither fard nor wajib to do so, yet a person deprives himself of blessings by neglecting to do so. An index of the sunnahs. We must examine our lives and see what sunnahs we neglect. Dr. Abdul Hay Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that his Uswa-e Rasooli Karam is an index of the Prophet's sunnahs. We must see what sunnahs we observe and what we neglect. Hence, whichever we have been neglecting, we must begin to abide by them. There are innumerable sunnahs that we do not remember, and they call for no effort or money or time. However, there are some that require our time and effort. If you put in some effort, then you will abide by them too. Let us have a God every day. God. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that he always had God to eat as his meals. Some of the scholars translate this God to be squash. Some of them translate it to mean that of the Lauki, what we call Lauki. It's a God. So he always had that at his meals. Why? So one day he asked his wife the reason for that. Why every time there is this squash or this Lauki? Why every time at meals? His wife said, I have read in a book that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves the God very much. So I have instructed the servant to bring it every day as long as it is available so that we may abide by this sunnah of the Prophet and the Dastakhan. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi was shocked on learning of it, and he trembled, for as an alim, he was unaware of this habit of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was neither fard nor wajib, but this woman was very particular to observe the sunnah. I present myself as an alim, but people call me as one, and people call me as one, and think of me as an alim, but I am not as particular of the Prophet's Sunnah, he said to himself. Examine life for three days. When I resolved that unless I examine my entire life to find out which sunnah of the Prophet I have failed to follow, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I shall not move ahead. It took me 3 days and I found out where I was deprived of abiding by the sunnah. And Allah enabled me to act on them. Anyway, in abiding by sunnah, love of Allah will grow in the heart. The more you abide by them, the more love grows. Thorns are garlands. As we come to a close, some important advice. People taunt you, but take these thorns as garlands. Sometimes people are taunted or ridiculed for abiding by the sunnah. Sometimes there's a wedding taking place at some posh place, or there's a wedding reception in the Hilton Hotel. So now the food is served and there is knife and fork. So everybody now is eating with knife and fork. And then you put away the knife and fork and you start to eat with your fingers. And people watch you and say, oh, he doesn't know, he's not modern. He doesn't know about table manners. And they start laughing and saying, watch at him. Sometimes people are taunted and ridiculed for abiding by the sunnah. Because of this, some of them weaken. So some Muslims are those who become weak when they see that, and they slacken. Though the Quran praises those who follow the sunnah, Allah praises them. Allah says, "Yujahiduna fi sabilillah," that they make effort and strive in the path of Allah. "Wala yakhafuna lawmata laim," and they fear not the blame and ridicule of people. They make effort in Allah's path without caring for those who blame them. People of the world may call us whatever they like. They may call us old-fashioned, backward, foolish followers of Islam. These thorns are bouquets for those who walk on Allah's path. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was subjected to taunts, and they were called foolish and their followers, and he was called foolish and their followers were asked, "Anu'minu kama amana as-sufaha?" What shall we believe as these foolish people have believed? So they were also called foolish. The prophets, sallallahu alayhi wasallatu wasallam, were taunted, and so were the sahaba, radiallahu anhum. They were called mad and misguided. However, for a believer, a mu'min, these taunts are medals. For a believer, these stones are medals. Collect them. How far will you silence the people of the world and fear them? Believers who laughs last, laughs best. Believers will laugh on the day of Qiyamah. Sometimes people laugh today. They watch your woman, they laugh at them. They see you following sunnah, they laugh at you. Therefore, when you walk on the path of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not worry about the taunts you receive. Rather be alert and prepared. Think of the taunts as a means of honor from Allah. Think of them as medals. For the Quran says, "فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ." Today is the day when the believers will laugh at the rejectors who laughs last. "فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ." Today is the day when the believers will laugh at the rejectors. That day will come. There's no doubt about it. So if you wish to walk on Allah's path, do not worry about the taunts of the people of the world. Why go to the place of one to whom life and heart are there? Since you have taken this path, you must tolerate the taunts. May Allah enable us to observe what we have read. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Tomorrow same time, same station, inshallah.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want. Cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't